Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The following podcast contains explicit language.
With all due respect to the Mormon Missile,
under center is McKay, fires, complete, touchdown!
And the Eagles' cast of backups,
deep down the far sideline, intercepted!
It's over.
Sidney Brown steals the game. He ends it.
The regular season finale against the New York Giants just needed to come and go. It was a win, 20-13, and put a nice bow on a resurgent season. Even though the outcome didn't matter, at least in terms of playoff implications. The Eagles had already locked up the number 2 seed in the NFC heading into Sunday's action. Within moments of their game going final, they found out who their opponent would be. The 7 seed Green Bay Packers, who they opened the season against.
The game was over! Eagles 34, Packers 29. What a game!
As word filtered through the Lincoln Financial Field locker room Sunday about who the Eagles had drawn, you could feel the vibe shift. There was excitement.
Last year left a sour taste in a lot of guys' mouths. So come back and fight at home against a good opponent is going to be fun.
There was focus.
At the end of the day, it's a playoff mindset. It's a new season going into next week, and we just have to treat it as such.
There was belief.
We've changed, and I know they have too. Personally, we just feel more confident in our communication.
There's no question a lot has happened since the Eagles and Packers squared off a hemisphere away in Sao Paulo, Brazil, back on September 6th. The game certainly offered clues about the type of team the Eagles could become.
Love, he backpedals. He is sacked back at the 24.
Yeah, Zach
Bond. He is sacked. It is Zach Bond, who has been the outstanding player on defense early in the game. They're going to continue to run Barkley, and he breaks 3 tackles. 4. They cannot stop Saquon Barkley.
How fun is that?
Complete. A.J. Brown to the 10, the 5. Touchdown! The Browns! 67 yards!
But it took them a few weeks to harness their strengths and undergo a transformation from major question mark to viable Super Bowl contender. On the other side, the Packers have come a long way too. And don't let them being the lowest seed in the NFC fool you. Their 11-6 final record would have been good enough to win 2 of the conference's 4 divisions. They just had the misfortune of playing in a stacked NFC North with the Detroit Lions and Minnesota Vikings, who also had excellent seasons. The Eagles and Nick Sirianni know that Green Bay will be a tough out, even with questions surrounding their health.
We're focused at the task at hand, and that's only the only thing that we're focused on, and that will continue through the playoffs.
So yes, it is time. This Sunday, at 4:30 in South Philly, the road to Super Bowl 59 gets underway. For all the Eagles accomplished in the regular season, will it be enough? The franchise-high tying 14 wins, a team record-setting 10-game winning streak, all the Pro Bowl talent. Will all of this translate to a run to New Orleans? And what about the quarterback? He's been an MIA the past 2 weeks with a concussion. Can he jump back into the mix?
How big of a concern is rust for Jalen Hurts?
I was a little surprised that they're only 3.5-point favorites. I mean, I think the Eagles should win that game. I think maybe a 10-point win for the Eagles.
I'm confident about this game. I'm excited about this game. But I think it would be foolish to go into this game thinking that the Green Bay Packers are going to lay down.
I'm Jeff McClain, and this is Uncovering the Birds, a production of the Philadelphia Inquirer and KYW News Radio original podcast, with new episodes every week from now until whenever the Eagles playoff run comes to an end. Coming up, we're going to zoom in on Eagles-Packers and take a look at how both teams have evolved since the regular season opener. But first, we're going to do some reflecting and put the regular season into perspective through the eyes of the players who made it happen.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
NFL Locker Room is as diverse a place as you can find in all professional sports. But among Eagles players, there's one issue where the consensus is absolutely clear. This year's team MVP.
If you had a team MVP, who's your guy?
Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley.
Saquon.
Saquon.
2K, so.
I think 26 is the guy for team MVP.
Okay.
Yeah, that might be the clear-cut winner.
I mean, everybody know what the team MVP is. Saquon.
I've been on the Eagles beat for 16 years, and this has become an annual exercise for me, polling the locker room about the team MVP at the end of each season. Some years, the results have been revealing and memorable, like in 2013, when a bunch of players named former Eagles linebacker DeMeco Ryans their team MVP. I was surprised he got so many votes, because the offensive side of the ball that year had lots of deserving candidates too. But the results were instructive for me as a reporter. They told me to dig in more on Ryan's impact. And sure enough, when he suffered a season-ending injury the following year in 2014, and then coach Chip Kelly said the defense had lost its Mufasa, I knew it wasn't hyperbole. The more time I spent around Ryan's, the more I saw the makings of a future NFL head coach, and that influenced my coverage any time I had the opportunity to write about him as he climbed the coaching ladder as an NFL assistant. Here he is now, head coach of the Houston Texans, which he's led to the playoffs for a second time in as many years. So that's why I do the team MVP vote, to get insights I wouldn't otherwise get. This year, I expanded my list of topics in the year-end poll to 5 questions. Over the last 2 weeks, I spoke to as many players as I could. I got 45 members of the Eagles' revolving 53-man roster. So in this segment, before we peek ahead to more on the Packers, I'm going to let the players do most of the talking about the people and moments who shaped an impressive 14-3 regular season. Let's continue on about the team MVP.
Hurts. He gives it to Barkley, who cuts outside. Uh-oh. He's at the 40, the 50, the 40. He's going to go again. He's going to go again. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. His all-time record, 72 yards.
How good is that guy? How good is this guy?
Saquon Barkley was so clear the choice that even guys like linebacker N'Kobe Dean, who didn't want to single out one player, made exceptions and alluded to him despite not saying his name.
You ask me, we got a league MVP on our team, and I think you know what I'm talking about.
Defensive tackle Milton Williams said he knew Barkley would have a career year before he even stepped on the field.
Team MVP? Shit. Gotta be Saquon. When he first got here, I already told him, like, I ain't even worried about you. I already know you from the – you going to ball because you ain't never played in no offensive line like they got here.
Yeah.
So that was a no-brainer.
Some players split their vote between Barkley and the Eagles' O-line. They deserved a ton of credit for his 2,000-plus rushing yards. Wide receiver Jahan Dotson gave MVP to the unit alone. When the Eagles got ahead in the fourth quarter, the line put its power on display by putting the game away on the ground.
We're a team that when we get in 4 minute, no one wants to play us because people know we're running the ball and they literally can't stop it because our O-line just executes at such a high level. I feel like obviously O-linemen don't get the recognition they deserve. You know, shout out to them because they make it happen. It all starts with them. They're by far the best group in the league.
Barkley split votes with individual players as well. Linebacker Zach Bond was the defensive player mentioned the most. He also earned several solo nods. Tackle Lane Johnson chose him in part to go against the grain.
It's either Zach, Zaquan, or Jordan. Let's go Zach. It'd be oddball.
Jordan was for Jordan Mailata. The left tackle, who was denied the Pro Bowl once again, despite uncovering the Birds' best efforts in a recent episode, got a few more mentions as well. First-time Pro Bowler Jalen Carter was a selection of his cohort on the defensive line, Jordan Davis. And safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who had four of his team-high six interceptions in the last four games that he played, was rookie receiver Anaya Smith's MVP. So who did Barkley pick if he wasn't going to choose himself? To no surprise, he chose one of his offensive linemen.
Landon Dickerson. Landon played every game this year, right?
Dickerson did, despite playing through multiple injuries, at least until the Eagles rested him in the season finale. Now, let's move on to question number two in my end-of-season locker room poll. Favorite moments.
Hurts in the gun. He backpedals. He's looking. Still looking. He fires it out in the flat to Barkley, who beats one man, spins past another, leaps over a third, and comes down at the 30.
What was that? I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life. He's never done this. No one's ever done this. He hurdles a guy backwards. How do you jump over a guy backwards?
He did.
What am I watching?
First and 10 at the 30. You've got to love this.
Dickerson's favorite moment of the season, like so many said, was Barkley's reverse hurdle against the Jaguars in early November. Jalen Carter and fellow defensive tackle Thomas Booker saw it from the sidelines. Their reactions mirrored that of those who watched it live from the stands or from the television broadcast. Shock and all.
Saquon, you jumped over that man backwards, man. That's going to be in my head for the rest of my life. I'll never forget that.
That's probably one of the craziest athletic feats I've ever seen. Yeah. You know, especially if you really appreciate what it takes to be that kind of distinctual athlete. That was pretty crazy, too.
Several other players mentioned Barkley's hurdle as part of a larger canvas of memory-making plays from the Jaguars game, which the Eagles almost lost. Receiver Devontae Smith made a breathtaking one-handed catch in the back of the end zone. Dotson had a circus catch as well. Vaughn and fellow linebacker N'Kobe Dean made interceptions. Nearly 2 months later, the highlights still stand out to defensive end Josh Sweat.
That shit was just big play after big play after big play. I know it ended up close, but it was big play after big play. Yeah.
For favorite moment, I told the players they could choose something individual or team-oriented. Many mentioned winning the NFC East Division last week and the celebration that followed. But I was surprised to hear several cite the trip to Brazil to play the Packers in the season opener. Many Eagles didn't initially appreciate the early travel and all that went into playing a game in South America. But several players said the trip fostered additional bonding that had started in earnest during spring workouts. For veteran kicker Jake Elliott, it was an experience to look back upon and appreciate.
The Brazil trip was a lot more fun than I think guys made it seem out to be.
Someone else has said that.
I think it was one of those things at the time where it was like kind of a hassle, kind of a just like a big trip after training camp. But looking back on it, it's pretty cool that we got to go play down there.
Some players recognize other individual wins as favorite moments. Two youngsters who didn't even contribute on defense versus the Saints in week three felt that effort was the first glimpse of how dominant coordinator Vic Fangio's unit would become. The game got the votes of Cooper DeGene and Sidney Brown.
I think that win in New Orleans was pretty solid, you know what I mean? Kind of set the tone for the season, and I think we've just been playing lights out, I think, defensively since then, and that's kind of been the standard.
But Barkley, again, was the author of so many moments players opted for. Tight end Grant Calcaterra recalled the first Commanders game in November when Barkley broke the game open in the fourth quarter.
Barkley, off the right side, breaks a tackle. He's at the 15, the 10, the 5. Touchdown! Saquon Barkley! He's broke it!
Team-wide, I would say Saquon's run against Washington on Thursday. That outside zone, he's just blocked perfectly. Super exciting.
Barkley becoming just the ninth player to rush for 2,000 yards in a season in Week 17 versus Dallas wasn't just a historic moment. It was his favorite.
Do you have a favorite moment, whether it be individual or team-wide?
I guess 2K is definitely probably up there.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite moment so far.
It meant as much to the rest of the team. It takes everybody, and on offense, all 11 play a role in the run game. Jalen Hurts deserves credit because the threat he poses as a runner creates space for Barkley. The tight ends and receivers have to block too. But the O-linemen relish 2K say perhaps the most. They each received monogrammed golf carts from Barkley and Hertz as Christmas gifts, and thanks for doing a lot of the dirty work on offense. The bond built between the line and Barkley this year was strong. Center Cam Jurgens said he got emotional watching Barkley reach the milestone.
Barkley breaks the tackle. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. He is at the 25-yard line. He has just broken the 2,000-yard rushing mark. Saquon Barkley goes into NFL history.
Jordan Mailata led the way.
He hit it off like behind me on that 2,000-yard mark, and I was like, I knew he was going to hit it behind me. I was like peeking over my shoulder, and I just seen the green flash. I was like, yes. And I knew that play was going to be the one.
The Eagles cruised to a victory that gave them their second division title in 3 years. Lane Johnson has been a part of 5 teams that have won the NFC East. He said watching right guard Mekhi Becton's reaction was one of his highlights of the year.
Winning the East, you know, Mekhi was emotional. I got happy for him because, you know, he's coming from, you know, he hadn't had a whole lot of success and had to overcome some adversity. So that was cool.
Becton had spent 4 forgettable seasons with the Jets. This was a new feeling for him. The 2024 Eagles still have an opportunity to add to this list. A playoff run may provide more memorable moments. But N'Kobe Dean said the relationships may be what's most lasting.
Just being able to be with your guys, you're celebrating half of them, trying to, like, what are we doing tonight? We going out, we going to grab some food or something. So just having that joy and away from the games, the conversations we have in the locker room and in the lunchroom, I feel like those are like second to none, because the relationships and everything that you build in this building is almost like lifelong.
It wasn't all positive during the season, of course. The Eagles got off to a shaky start and went into the bye 2-2 after getting humiliated again in Tampa.
This team just does not look ready to play today. I'm being serious.
This brings us to the third question I posed to players over the past 2 weeks. What was the turning point? We'll address that next.
Philly sports fans, we get the obsession. We know you need more than the score and the stats. You need coverage that gives you the home field advantage. You need Inquire Sports. Whatever your game, we're on it with round-the-clock updates and all the insider info. Why? Because we share the obsession, and we bleed Philly, just like you. Get your Philly sports fix at inquire.com/sports. Your home field advantage for all things Philly sports.
Hey, this is Brian Seltzer. I love producing Uncovering the Birds and working with Jeff, just like I love working on the other podcasts we produce at KYW News Radio. We just launched a brand new show. It's called The Week in Philly. Pretty self-explanatory. It looks back and ahead at the biggest stories in the Philadelphia region, with a longer lens than what you might hear on the radio. We've also got Gone Cold, exploring unsolved murders in the city. Gone Cold team released a fantastic miniseries called Ricochet. It examines all the angles of the city's gun crisis. You gotta check it out. Bridging Philly brings you stories that connect communities on the issues that matter most to you, and One-on-One has great conversations with people in sports you should absolutely know more about. So give the full slate of KYW News Radio original podcasts a listen. Download the free Odyssey app and follow KYW News Radio for Philly's best original podcasts right at your fingertips.
I'm Jeff McClain, and on this edition of Uncovering the Birds, players weigh in on 5 questions I asked them looking back on the regular season.
Once again, the final score, the Tampa Bay Bucks 33, the Eagles 16, and it was every bit that bad.
The Eagles' Week 4 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers felt catastrophic. But while all the talk outside the NovaCare complex was doom and gloom and apocalyptic, backup quarterback Kenny Pickett said there was no panic inside the building.
Early in the season, I think there's a lot of overreaction on the outside. You know, everyone's kind of figuring out who they are and like working the kinks out from camp. But I think we just stayed the course, kept working hard, stayed together. And then you saw, you know, when we rattled off the wins, what kind of football we're capable of playing.
The Eagles' resurgence after the bye, when they set a team record with 10 straight wins, was the obvious choice for many players when I posed my third question to them in my year-end survey. What was the turning point? Kicker Jake Elliott has been around long enough to know that some teams just need time to get their bearings. The Eagles didn't play their starters much in the preseason, and with new coordinators and schemes, there was going to be a learning curve.
I don't know that it was anything crazy. I mean, I think the culture was built up pretty good during training camp, and sometimes it just takes a couple games to get your feet under you and get going. And I mean, a lot of those guys, like, we don't ever play our starters in the preseason, so maybe it's kind of a learning process there, a bunch of new coaches and just piecing it together.
With the Bucks loss and the subsequent week off allowed Sirianni, his assistants, and key players to step back and reassess themselves. And it was interesting to hear, almost 3 months later, how the Eagles viewed their turnaround and what happened behind closed doors. On offense, guys like Landon Dickerson and Grant Calcaterra said little changed, but we know that isn't necessarily the case. Sirianni and offensive coordinator Kellen Moore might have been leaning toward becoming more run-heavy, but when Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, and Dickerson went to them about altering the offense to capitalize on Barkley and the O-line, the coaches ran with it. Johnson looked back at that moment.
Just changed our trajectory of, like, our style of play. And I feel like it went from, like, a strictly drop-back passing game to more run play action. After, you know, a bunch of games like that, it stayed pretty consistent.
The shift in philosophy took some of the load off Jalen Hurts, who had been struggling in Moore's scheme. And he, in turn, turned the ball over less and became more of a game manager-type quarterback. Barkley then went on a tear, rushing for over 100 yards in 9 of the next 12 games.
We were able to come together as a team, come to the conclusion what we want to accomplish and what we want to do. And once we did that, you could see where our mindset shifted to, and that's when we went on 10 in a row.
On the other side of the ball, many defensive players, like defensive tackle Milton Williams, safety Reed Blankenship, and N'Kobe Dean, said the bye week was gut check time.
Everybody just looked in the mirror. We made the adjustments that we needed to make, got everybody on the same page, knowing what type of group we could be. But you got to go out there and make sure we're being consistent and show it every week.
Just look yourself in the mirror, honestly, and that was with everybody. Whatever we did work, you know, just being real and having uncomfortable conversations, regardless of what it was. So we got the job done.
We got real with each other. Like, we got real. I mean, we got real with what we wanted to do, what we seen ourselves at. We got real as a team. We got real as a unit, defensive unit. And we got real as a linebacker room. And then I got real with myself as far as what I wanted to do, or what the type of player that I say I am. Am I going to go be that player, or are we gonna fuck it off? So everybody came back with more professional approach, but more of a tack mode approach. Everybody wanted to learn and get better at each week. We wasn't like always just shoot. I mean, we was always shooting for 1-0. But we were shooting for 1-0 each day instead of 1-0 at the end of the week. So if we was able to win each day, it'd make us more susceptible to win at the end of the week.
Fangio, meanwhile, looked more closely at his defensive front and how snaps were being distributed. That meant playing less of defensive end Bryce Huff and more of Nolan Smith, Brennan Graham, and Jalex Hunt on rundowns, and less of defensive tackle Jordan Davis and more of Jalen Carter, Moira Jomo, and Williams on pass downs. Vic Fangio downplayed the changes, but even he couldn't ignore the impact Cooper DeJean had when he supplanted Avante Maddox at slot cornerback.
That's when Coop came in, and he's done well each and every week, gotten better week to week, but nothing major otherwise.
There were other tangible reasons for the early season struggles. Receiver A.J. Brown missed 3 games, and both he and his counterpart, Devontae Smith, were out against the Bucs. But Nick Sirianni also doubled down on emphasizing technique in practice. There were increased tackling and ball security drills, and just more attention placed on the details. Jordan Mailata thought the changes paid off.
The coaches became more, I mean this in the most positive way ever, angle on detail. Like the smallest, even the angles of how to run the ball, pursuit to the ball, run blocking, with just everything became anal. The coaching was very, like, a lot more detailed. I think that was a difference.
There's no denying the difference some of the Eagles' new pieces made in rebounding from last season's collapse. We've gone over Barkley. But the other new guy with the greatest contributions is probably linebacker Zach Bond.
Henry is tripped up for a loss. Guess who? Zach Bond got him on the backfield.
Just a fantastic job of playing that pitch and getting out in front of it, Zach Bond.
He received some team MVP votes and was voted to his first Pro Bowl, but his name still came up often when I asked the Eagles locker room my 4th year in question. Who was the team's most unheralded player? Many of Bond's teammates picked him because they said even that kind of recognition wasn't enough. Like cornerback Isaiah Rodgers.
Zach Bond. Yeah. I feel like he's not even in the conversation, probably defensive player of the year, but when you put his stats on Fred Warner or you put his stats on any other linebacker that's talked about, it was in the conversation.
Reed Blankenship felt the same way about Bond.
I'll say Zach Bond. Obviously, he's gotten some recognition, but he's playing lights out even more. Like, he should be getting even more stuff talked about him. He's a freaking phenomenal player, and more than that, he's a great person, too, and what he does leadership-wise.
Bond's partner, linebacker N'Kobe Dean, earned his share of praise for an unheralded player as well. He was linebacker Oren Burks' pick.
N'Kobe, I just got a ton of respect for the way that he just runs the show from the middle, making the calls and everything, but he's kind of the glue on the defensive side that kind of gets everything going. A ton of respect for the way he handled himself for sure.
Grant Calcaterra received the same amount of votes as Dean. He filled in at tight end for the injured Dallas Goedert. Calcaterra is under contract for another season. But Milton Williams, who received as many votes as Dean and Calcaterra, is slated to become a free agent this offseason. The Eagles may not be able to afford the defensive tackle, who finished with a career-high 5 sacks and 10 quarterback hits, and did a lot of the dirty work up front. Cornerback Eli Ricks took notice.
I definitely feel like he's the unsung hero of our team, honestly.
Defensive end Josh Sweat doesn't exactly exist under the radar. He's made the Pro Bowl before and recorded 11 sacks 2 years ago. He regressed last season and had to restructure his contract in order to return for 2024. But Sweat bounced back with 8 sacks and 15 hits. Numbers don't convey how important he's been to the Eagles' defense. N'Kobe Dean echoed that sentiment.
I've been here for 3 years. I've been saying this for 3 years. Probably one of the best in the league, and nobody really talks about him. And he really don't care, which is okay. He really don't care. He's just like, look, he come here, as long as he get his sacks, we winning, he good.
Oh, Sweat cares. When I spoke to him last week, he was still smarting over not getting into the Pro Bowl and chose himself as the Eagles' most unheralded player.
Maybe someone who doesn't get the pub and attention he deserves. If you pick one guy, who would you pick?
Me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I should have had that shit.
Yep.
I'm sticking with it. Hey, I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't know what the criteria is. I know it's fan voting, but I should have had that shit, without a doubt.
The rest of the voting in my poll was split among specific position groups like the offensive line, tight ends, and interior defensive linemen, and individual players as well. My lotto was selected by Lane Johnson and long snapper Rick Lovato because of the Pro Bowl oversight. John Carter made his first Pro Bowl, but fellow defensive tackle Thomas Booker thinks Carter is still underappreciated.
I know Jalen Carter has a name that everyone knows, but I think that people don't really understand what he's doing, especially with all the slides that are thrown to him and all the rest of it, and still being productive and creating opportunities for other guys. I don't know. They have the game plan for him in such a different way, and that helps everybody else eat.
Others who've received votes in my poll, Mekhi Becton, who arrived this offseason and made the successful switch from tackle to guard. Running back Kenny Gainwell, who saw his playing time dip after Barkley arrived, but still found meaningful ways to contribute. Barkley chose center Cam Jurgens, who stepped into Jason Kelsey's big shoes and earned his first Pro Bowl nod. Cooper DeGene said Reed Blankenship doesn't get enough attention for being the quarterback of the secondary.
You guys don't see it, obviously, but just the way he communicates, out on the practice field, in the meeting rooms, I think he really makes our back end go. Kind of gets everybody in the right spot.
There were other nominations, too. A reminder that it truly takes everyone to win 14 games in a season. My last question to the players centered on their personal growth and whether there was something or someone or a certain moment that they felt helped them on their career path. It may sound Pollyanna-esque, but some of the Eagles offered revealing answers. Like Devontae Smith, he admitted that having less involvement in the offense as a receiver this year tested his resolve.
I would say just staying in the moment. We're a real run-heavy team, so just staying in the moment, not getting down when, ball's not coming my way and things like that.
A segment of players pointed to the impact their position coaches had on their growth. Barkley cited the spring conversation he had with running backs coach Jamal Singleton as inspiring. Blankenship said safeties coach Joe Casper goes above and beyond the norm for an assistant. Zach Bond credited his coach for helping him make the transition to a new position.
I think my linebacker coach, Bobby King, just let me play free and not worrying about making mistakes. It's kind of been very freeing for me.
The significant number of Eagles mentioned one player in particular who helped them out, A.J. Brown. As we chronicled in an Uncovering the Birds episode earlier this season, he may be one of the more misunderstood players that I've covered. Grant Calcaterra said Brown's voice carries a lot of weight.
I remember during OTAs, just got done with a rack of plays, and AJ was like, hey, bro, like, you're looking really good. Like, keep it up, basically. And, you know, we talk all the time, but, you know,
at that moment,
just fucking around. But,
at that moment,
I just was just like, yeah, man, like, that felt good because I've been working so hard and trying to obviously be a dude on the team. So it meant a lot coming from him, for sure.
Isaiah Rogers said Brown acts as a therapist to so many, including himself.
AJ helped me a lot. AJ keeps me, like, grounded. So I'd probably say AJ.
What's he doing?
He's just always on me, like, I don't know if it's like we build a bond. He kind of knows when I'm having one of those days or when I'm, like, down or anything. So we talk a lot outside of the building, too. So he kind of knows me a little bit better than most people.
Jahan Dotson appreciated Brown leading by example.
Being able to watch him day to day, because I feel like he is top receiver in this league. Arguably the best. So being able to see him day to day and how he works, pick up on the things that, you know, he was able to pick up, he's able to do, just how he approaches the game, I feel like was really big for me in my career. I'm not 100% like the peak of where I want to be, but I feel like coming here was a blessing for me just to be able to be around someone like him and just see how he goes about it.
There were other players cited. Punt returner receiver Britton Covey said that his conversations with Hurts helped him as his role in offense increased and gave him more confidence. Avante Maddox knew he was just a stand-in until Cooper DeJean was ready, and yet he never held back in helping the rookie.
Avante, you know, I wouldn't be the player I am right now without him. You know, he's helped me since I've gotten in here. Play the same position, obviously. You know, and then older guys like Slay, you know, he's helped a lot. You know, just had to be a pro. Really, you know, he started following time on how to take care of your body and, you know, teaching us young guys, you know, out on the field, like, different techniques that he's learned. So just being able to learn from him, too.
The retirements of Kelce and Fletcher Cox left massive holes that the future Eagles Hall of Famers filled for years. There were a lot of questions asked before the season about who would replace them, not only at center and defensive tackle, but in terms of leadership. Mailata challenged himself to step up after Kelce's departure.
I knew the amount of leadership that was going to leave with him. And so for me, I took it upon myself as a challenge. How can I fill that void? So that's, I think, where it changed my game. Because the example of leading by example through action was leaving. I sought out to become that example.
The Eagles got younger partly because of their retirements, but several old heads returned. Brennan Graham came back for a 15th season and what he said would be his last. Lane Johnson and Darius Slay continued to perform at a high level despite each being in their 12th season. Johnson and Slay said all the young dudes on the roster kept them going.
Oh, shit. Just being in a group full of younger guys. So, mainly the young guys, really.
The young guys keeping me going. Young?
Keeping me going.
Does that mean Slay wants to play for another year?
Ooh, I don't know about that one yet. I'm still debating.
All right.
Slay said if he's coming back, he wants to be here, but he may not have a choice. The Eagles, no doubt, want Johnson for another year. He may have cemented his NFL Hall of Fame bona fides this season. But can he do it one more time?
When I hear the young guys bitching about how their body hurts, I'm like, hey, I'm still. Like, their pain and soreness gives me strength. So, no, man, the young guys keep me going. They're funny. Yeah, and I just see, you know, as an older player, you see a lot of their young energy youth used to have. And so I enjoy being around them. And
that keeps you coming. Yeah. You'll be back from.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be back.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'll be definitely. Back.
The Eagles are hoping Johnson's future is a question they won't have to address for a few more weeks. Johnson didn't play the last time they hosted a wildcard game, which they lost 17-9 to the Seahawks in 2019. The Eagles entered this postseason about as healthy as they were 2 years ago when they made a run to the Super Bowl. When we taped the pod, Jalen Hurts had yet to clear concussion protocol. But assuming he's ready to practice by Wednesday, the quarterback still has to again knock off rust before the playoffs. questions surrounding Hurts leads my three-part breakdown of the rematch between the Eagles and the Packers on Sunday. Number one, where could the Eagles be vulnerable? Hurts' health. Hurts' late-season injuries have become the norm. In 2021, an ankle injury clearly affected him when the Eagles lost to the Buccaneers in the first round. In 2022, he was rushed back from a shoulder injury for the season finale and didn't really get cooking until the Super Bowl. And last season, while he didn't miss any games, he was never close to 100% as the Eagles spiraled down the stretch. Of equal concern is Hurts in the passing game. The Eagles finally got the offense going through the air versus the Steelers in Week 15, but Hurts never got a chance to string together strong outings because he got knocked out of the Commanders game so early. The Packers, like Pittsburgh, play a lot of single-high safety and can do so because Xavier McKinney covers so much ground and can get his hands on the ball. He had 8 interceptions this season. But it's defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley's pressures that could give Hurts the most problems. Only the Bears' Caleb Williams was sacked at a higher rate this season. And that was with Hurts playing behind one of the best pass-blocking O-lines in the NFL. Second thing I'm keeping an eye on for this matchup, the return of tight end Dallas Goedert. He gets a lot of grief for the injuries, but when he's on the field, the offense is an upgrade in the passing and ground games. Grant Calcaterra offset some of what the Eagles lost through the air when Goedert missed time with a knee injury, but he's nowhere near the blocker.
And Nick, I know you wanted to get Dallas some reps there in the last game, but what does he bring to the run game?
Yeah, physical blocker, does the things that you need your tight end to do, being able to hold the point. You know, just able to do a lot of different things and be multiple. You can be multiple in your schemes with him in there.
The run game numbers when Goedert was playing versus when he wasn't were significant, with the Eagles ranking first in the league in EPA per rush with him and 9th without. The third and last item on my mind for Sunday's wildcard game is the key matchup of the Eagles' run defense versus the Packers' run offense. When the teams faced each other in the opener, Green Bay gashed the Birds on the ground, rushing for 163 yards on just 21 carries. By most statistical measures, it was their worst showing in defending the run. But players were still adjusting to coordinator Vic Fangio's new scheme, and he'd get to figure out some of his personnel. And since that game, the Eagles have been among the most stingy on the ground, and they've done so despite Fangio employing the most light boxes in the NFL. Defensive tackle Jordan Davis said that running back Josh Jacobs and the Packers' run offense are going to see a different defense than the one they saw in Brazil.
This is an evolved defense from that first game. It's a different defense. It's a different look that they're going to see. It's a different type of mindset that we have. It's a different feel that we have on defense that the Packers haven't seen. I just believe that, you know, we go out there and we do what we're supposed to do. It's all about just doing the little things better, man. We got to handle the basics. When we get to the playoffs, man, we just got to go out there and ball, and that's all it takes.
The Eagles have a bit of history with the Packers in the postseason, with all the games coming in Philadelphia. The first meeting came in 1960, the NFL championship at Franklin Field, where the Eagles beat Green Bay 17-13, and handed legendary coach Vince Lombardi his only loss in the postseason. The two teams would have to wait nearly 44 years before meeting again in the divisional playoff in January 2004. The most memorable moment? 4th and 26.
Here it is. It is 4th and 26. McNabb is back. He's looking. He is firing, and it is caught by Freddie Mitchell. Did he get it? Does he have a first down? He does. He does have a first down. He's across midfield, and he's into Packer territory at the 46.
7 years later, the Eagles hosted the Packers at the Link again. The two teams first met in the season opener. Sound familiar? But Green Bay won in Week 1. And when they faced off again, the Eagles let the game slip away. David Agers missed 2 field goals, and Michael Vick couldn't seal the deal.
Vick again in the shotgun. 47 seconds left. Vick takes the snap. He's looking, he pumps, he is going deep, and it is intercepted in the end zone. It is intercepted in the end zone, and that should end the season.
The 2024 Eagles would like to repeat in winning both ends of the series like the Packers did 14 years ago. But Akers misses when Andy Reid said afterward, "Well, we can all count." Bring to mind current kicker Jake Elliott's struggles. He missed another field goal from 39 yards against the Giants. The Eagles hope Sunday's game won't come down to a kick, but all signs are pointing to a close contest. Regardless of what happens, we'll be back with a new episode next week. This has been Uncovering the Birds, a production of the Philadelphia Inquirer and KYW News Radio original podcast. Our producer is KYW News Radio's Brian Seltzer. Tom Rickard is KYW News Radio's director of podcasting. The executive producer from the Philadelphia Inquirer is Renee Eiffel. Special thanks to Sports Radio 94WIP and NBC Sports Philadelphia. If you're enjoying Uncovering the Birds, please give us a rating and a review. And we wanted to give a special shout out to a big Eagles fan and listener of the podcast, Reed Brown. Heal up soon, buddy. Listen to Uncovering the Birds free on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, or go to inquirer.com/podcasts. I'm Jeff McClain. You can follow me on X, Blue Sky, or Threads at Jeff_McClain. Or search for my name on any social media platform. Thanks for listening.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.